Hey, and thanks for listening. This is Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Let's get started. Today I have on the line with me today someone who is very awesome, Jamie Goddard, who I met, has it been like a year ago, maybe more at this point? I was doing a speaking engagement for the Penn State Smeal School of Business. It was an alumni event. I came out to talk a little bit about social business and social media marketing and things like that. And I had the pleasure of meeting Jamie, and we've since kept in touch, gone to a number of events together, and just generally like each other's company. So I'm going to let Jamie introduce himself and tell everybody a little bit about what he does. Jamie, go right ahead.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on today. And yeah, when Jeff and I met, I had just started a business called LifeLeash, which is a personal technology consulting company. So I'm the founder and president of that. I've been doing that for just over a year now. And then my day job, actually, I'm a health systems account manager for hospitals and IDNs for GlaxoSmithKline, and have been there for just about 14 years working in account management.
Awesome. So one of the reasons, just for context for everyone, because this may seem, you know, a social media podcast, it may seem odd why someone who's currently working in personal technology and at GlaxoSmithKline would be on this show. But there's a very specific reason that I wanted to have Jamie on this show. And Jamie, you know the reason why, is that I'm fascinated by your what I'm calling an entrepreneurial spirit. You know, as I've started my own company and I have really, there's no boundaries. I can do whatever I want. Nobody's calling the shots. I'm amazed by the fact that inside of a company such as GlaxoSmithKline that's so big and with so many different silos, I'm sure, and all the different facets and variables that go on there, you've managed to really push the envelope and consistently try and break down the boundaries of what you do there. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what it's been like to try and start initiatives and push the envelope at a company of that size.
Yeah, no, and that's a great question, Jeff. You know, when you look at, you know, whether it's our customers or, you know, even inside an organization in which you work, you mentioned silos, and that's always the challenge, is understanding where everybody is and what everybody's doing. But as you begin to work across those different matrices and find and understand what everybody's working on, you really start to identify the needs within those groups. So for me, it was around technology, and with, you know, the way the industry and economy has been going, everybody has to do more with less. And one of the big sayings that you hear oftentimes now is you have to do more for more with less and do it better. So
my
with
God, that
made
my head spin.
it's one of my favorite ones. But it, I mean, if you really think about it, now you have that much more responsibility, that much more information you have to manage. And it's really trying to understand the most efficient way to do that. And, you know, when you look inside a large organization, you know, and I'm giving you an example around technology, you know, how can you help assist? And I first type by identifying that need, that gap within the organization, really understand where the industry is, the organization, and the individuals. And then through that, you can start to identify how that can be worked on and how that can be fixed. You start to network throughout the organization. So whether it's senior leadership, you're trying to get a sponsor and pull that through as far as an opportunity to improve the overall organization and the individuals within it so that they can be more effective and do their job better and we'll all be more successful.
You just said like five things that I'm completely fascinated by. So without putting them all out there at once, I want to touch on a few of them one by one. The first thing that it's the most recent thing that you said that I'm losing my mind over, network in the organization. I mean, like what kind of a concept is this that you're talking about where you're actually talking about building relationships within your business where most of the focus when we talk about networking and getting things done through people, we're not talking about inside of a company. And you just stated that matter-of-factly, like that's how things get done. And I think that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but that might be one of the reasons why you're getting things accomplished in a company of this size is that you're actually making relationships and networking within the company. Can you talk more about that internal networking?
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny if you look across, you know, to be successful and grow your career, you know, outside of an organization, you're always trying to grow your network. But even within the side of an organization, it really shouldn't be any different than that. And in understanding whatever it is that your goal is and whatever you're trying to accomplish, whether it's on a small project or within your scope of your role, understanding who else you might be able to talk to. So it's having those one-on-ones, not just with your boss, but your boss's boss and their boss. And then through those conversations, really understanding, you know, who else should I talk to about this? I might be thinking about going down this line. And, you know, I often say, you don't know what you don't know. But with that being said, it's really trying to identify and what are you doing every day to figure out what it is you don't know and having a plan around that. And those people within your network, as you start to expand upon that and grow, are going to point you in the direction to, one, share ideas with you as far as where you might want to go within your career, but also around specific projects where either people have experience in it, they might be working on something simultaneously. So to minimize that duplicity, there's all kinds of benefits to continuing to do that. And at the end of the day, if you come up to a table with an idea and you're the only one that knows about it, your chances of being successful and getting that pulled through are going to be pretty slim.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see that. It's so interesting that you look at it that way. I think it's a testament to probably why you're able to everybody in an organization has ideas, right? You know, at some level or another, somebody sees something that's broken. They say, I want to fix it. And here's how I think. But I think you're attention to the process of leveraging relationships and people and not just doing it for your own means, but also identifying and understanding what it is that they're looking for is probably something that helps you move that stuff along. But it kind of leads me into the next thing I want to ask you about, which is a lot of the things that you talked about fixing. You see a better way to do something, a faster way to do something, doing more for more with less for less. Was that it?
Do more for more with less and do it better.
And do it better. Okay, I had it wrong. So when we're looking at that, you know, that's typically, especially when it comes to technology or process, those typically are the domains of, you know, the IT manager or, you know, the CTO or something like that, or operations is the COO or any of the people down that chain of command. How are you able to get some of these ideas moving in a system? I'm assuming that in a large corporate environment like, you know, GSK, there's got to be certain protocols for how technology is implemented. How are you going about getting buy-in from IT and operations to get people doing this work in a more efficient way with technologies that may not have been sourced from the top down, but are instead ideas that you're bringing from, you know, the upper middle, wherever you are in that chain of command for those mm-hmm. initiatives? How are you getting traction?
Yeah. And so when you look at that, again, if you can create a large enough business need, the first thing you're going to want to do as far as the opportunity may be to pilot, start with that initiative in a small group, you know, small setting, maybe within one business unit in which you work already. And a lot of times it's not trying to immediately break out of the box beyond what's already available. Because if you look at everything that's already within an organization, it's about identifying where the gaps are and kind of narrowing that gap between capabilities. So you have those, you know, you always had your super users who were always fantastic and, you know, they were in college and they always said, you know, they're always out in front and always blew out the bell curve. And then there's those who needed a little bit more help. And what you're always trying to do is narrow that gap between the capabilities. So the first thing that, you know, I wanted to start with was the tools that were already available. And see how we could take those and implement those within the field sales division that really wasn't leveraging the benefits of the tools that already existed. From there, you know, you kind of get the people's attention where you can then start to say, okay, well, how can we make this better? How can we tune it up? Are there other tools that are available? And then start to look at that. And then again, that's where your leadership and your buy-in and your sponsor for a large initiative within your organization is going to be helpful and if not essential in you being successful. Because if you don't have anybody at the top supporting you, you are not going to be able to push from the bottom up. But what you can do, again, is have that pilot and those people and the example of the impact that it's making to make your case with senior leadership and then ultimately up through whichever department you're going to additionally need their help from.
So this is the question that comes from like the depth of my soul. How do you deal with no? Because that is my greatest challenge. It always has been when I worked for anybody else, whether it was a big company, a little company. being told no for me is like, it's like my kryptonite. I virtually run from a job after that, which is probably why I'm designed to do this. But what I'm fascinated by in your entrepreneurial spirit is that you are able to somehow deal with no, because I'm sure in a large corporate environment like GSK, that you have these ideas for initiatives, ways to do it better. You see it. It's so clear. It's so much better. And then, no, we can't do it that way. And it's for whatever reason. Sometimes it's policy, which is usually the most frustrating to me, or because they just can't see it, which is also frustrating to me. Or it could just be, I recognize that your idea is good and we just can't do it right now for some other reason. How do you personally deal with no? And is it something where you're going to try and bounce back from it and get it back in there? Or do you just take that as a knock and you move on to the next thing?
Yeah, so it's a multifaceted answer from the perspective of one, being in sales, you have to be fine with no, because you get no a lot. So you have to constantly say, all right, not a big deal. How am I going to come at this from a different angle? Because if you could never take no, then you probably don't want to be in sales.
Yeah.
Secondly, with no, even back from when I was in college, I can't tell you, I can give you example after an example of times I've asked, you know, professors, can I do this or test out of this class? And they said no. Maybe they were my advisor. And sure enough, I went and actually asked the department who runs that. And they said, yeah, you can do that. So I guess my thought is, you know, there's always one person that says no. So never take that first no. I mean, you have to get a lot of no's for me before I'm going to really back away. And with the no, you also need to understand, is it because there are very strict policies? Maybe there isn't the budget right now, whatever that may be. And you always have to keep in the back of your mind, there's, you know, if you have a wildly important goal, you really never want to have more than two or three of those. And if implementing another process or something new is going to get in the way of you achieving those, you know, that could be one barrier. But the other could be, well, you know what, the reason why I'm bringing this is because this is how I think it could help us achieve X goal. So it's understanding what the overall goals of the organization are and how whatever it is you're bringing forth aligns to that organization's goals, be it your customer or even within where you work. And ultimately, that's what's going to help you, again, get what it is that you're trying to achieve. Because if it's, hey, here's this idea and here's how it helps, if it doesn't align to the overall organization or your senior leadership's mission and vision, again, you're not going to be successful there and you're going to be beating your head against the wall. So that may just have come over years of practice, but really having that understanding. And that's what makes a great salesperson, too. It's, you know, you can have a feature and a benefit, but it's not really an advantage until it aligns specifically to a customer's need or, you know, an individual's need. So some people may say, well, I hate sales. I'm not in sales. We're all in sales, whether you're trying to get a raise within your company or talk your friend and going to the movies versus going out to wherever else. We're all in sales, and it's really trying to align the need with the solution.
I mean, so far, I feel like just inherent in everything that you've said, we've covered internal networking, internal sales, leadership, innovation, and this is all inside of a company. I'm going to put it out there, and it's going to go on record, as this is a podcast that will be broadcast to billions of people, possibly trillions and out to the galaxy. But I think you should write, even if it's like an ebook, but I feel like there should be some sort of a framework where if we look at what you're doing – there are people right now that are suffocating inside of companies that have great ideas and can't get the buy-in or can't figure out what the process is to go about connecting the dots to solve business problems. And the fact that they're not able to do that, the fact that they don't have the skills to do it or whatever, I think it's a detriment to the company, it's a detriment to that employee, and it's a detriment to the customers of that company because it's untapped knowledge. And while it would be nice if every company culture had this sort of openness to allow people to freely contribute, it's simply not the case. So I feel like there's a need for some sort of a framework. The kind of aside from this kind of statements I'm just making there, the follow-up I would have to that for you is, what do you think is the one thing? I obviously can't boil it down to one thing, but what's one thing that you think is really important to say to people that are locked inside of companies that have great ideas that just can't get the buy-in? Like what's the thing that gives you the glimmer that you can make a difference and make something happen inside of the company? What's your X factor?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's really getting out and meeting new people and sharing with them what it is that I'm trying to accomplish, whether in my career and understanding who else I can talk to and meet people and understand what they've done in their process. So that would be one, is really reaching out and broadening your network, because if nobody's going to be looking out for you, if they don't understand. So ultimately what you're trying to do is get a sponsor, right? So I talked about a sponsor of a project from a senior leadership position, right? We have mentors, you have what we call board of directors, but you know, ultimately what you're looking for is your sponsor. It's somebody high in within your organization or senior leadership who is looking out for you and finding you opportunities to achieve your goal. Well, nobody's able to do that if they really don't understand what your long-term goals are. Long-term might be a little bit broad, but you know, what are the two or three steps that you can take in the next 2 to 3 years to get there? And if people can understand that, you know, and what that's going to start with is obviously your first line leader, and from them saying, you know, who else can I talk to? You know, I'd like to learn more about this department or this division. Is there somebody that you'd recommend me sitting down and spending maybe a day shadowing and learning more about? And again, that's going to provide you one, greater visibility of the organization, what the goals are and the mission are across the different business units. And from there, it allows you to help a large network of people, whether it's based on customer feedback, ideas that you have, other people who may be working on a project and say, hey, do you know Joe's working on the same thing? And it's that glimmer of hope is there are a lot of leadership now that are really focused on succession planning and leadership development within our organization. And they want to help and they want to develop people. And that's, if an organization's not focused on that, that they're not going to be in a good place in the not too distant future.
Yeah. So one thing that just to pull out of that, you know, if I were to kind of pull one thing out of that if I were to ever, God forbid, have to go and work for somebody else other than myself again, the one thing that I think I would probably look to do is immediately align myself with somebody high ranking in the organization as a sponsor, somebody who could help me achieve my goals and make sure that I've clearly and concisely laid out what my plan is, what my goals are, and how it aligns with that of the company. So if correct me if I'm wrong, would that be a good first step for someone like me?
It would. And that's a relationship that happens over, you know, you build over time. That's not something you know, on the first time meeting somebody, you want either ask them to be your sponsor or you're expecting that, you know, it's about paying it forward. Mm-hmm. And it's about looking, keeping in touch with people, helping them where you can, developing that relationship. And from that relationship is where you're going to develop your sponsor and somebody who's helping you move through the organization.
So you've got this advocate in the organization. Do you ever fear backlash from those that aren't necessarily the ones that are kind of on your team, so to speak? So you've got this high-level sponsor that's driving and helping you make those opportunities. But when you come up with this new idea and you approach somebody else about it, do you ever fear that by consistently pushing from – and this could be the people that want to maintain the status quo or that don't want to go above and beyond or don't want to do that extra whatever. And I'm not saying that's the case at your company. I'm just – when you encounter those people as they exist and you're the one trying to push and go above and beyond, do you ever fear that backlash and how it might reflect on you or how it might impact your career?
I learned something from my mentor a long time ago, and what that feedback was, and she's been fantastic throughout all of my career, is if you're coming from a place where you're truly trying to help people and you're trying to find ways to make their life easier and provide them tools and tips, and that's where it's coming from, don't worry about it. But if what you're doing is trying to get ahead and kind of – you know, it's kind of shady in what you're trying to do. You know, it's all about you, and you're doing it because you're either brown nosing or you're trying to get higher in the organization intentionally. You know, that's where it becomes a challenge, and you may cause some friction between you and some of your coworkers, either leadership or just your colleagues. But again, if at the end of the day, you know, I always heard a lot of people share ideas, and I'm like, God, I've been doing that for 2 years, and they're getting all these accolades. And that's when I learned it's about communicating and sharing and helping others. And if you pay it forward, it will come back to you 10 times over.
It's awesome. I love your perspective. I love your energy about it and the perspective you take. I love the don't worry about it if you're coming from a genuine place. Where I tend to get frustrated is that, you know, in my career, I've tried to be very genuine, honest, and open about advancing the goals of the organization and doing good work and helping people. And when I've been met with people who can't think in that way or who want to or that have a problem with my ambition, I get very frustrated by it. So it's very refreshing to hear, you know, the advice coming down through you from your mentor to, if you're coming from a good place, just let it go and don't worry about it.
And that's hard to do, right? Because yeah. You know, you sound like me, you care what people think about you. But with that, at the end of the day, you can't let that energy take over all of your feelings and let, you know, only you can control the way you feel.
Yeah.
Right. If you feel any other way because of what happened in your environment, you're letting that happen. And again, as long as you're coming from a good place, not everybody's always going to like you or be happy with what you're doing. And, you know, but with that being said, I think, you know, I'm big on feedback, constructive criticism, and continuous improvement. So with that, I ask a lot of the people I trust most, you know, how was this? How did that go? What were your thoughts on this? And how can I do a better job? So that's important at the same time, and to be humble, through that process.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not exactly the same way in that, you know, I really only care what a handful of people think. And it's the people who I have a tremendous amount of respect for or love or deep friendship. It's the people that are, you know, wheels in the machine that I don't particularly have a tremendous amount of respect for. When they shoot me down, that's where I get frustrated and angry, and where it's not so much that I care what they think about me. It's that I worry about job security and this and that. And then I think, you know, why won't they take me seriously? It's such a good idea. So I have my own mania about the whole situation. So clearly it's, you know, everybody's got their thing.
But we all have our little idiosyncrasies.
Absolutely. Well, I want to shift gears and I want to talk to you a little bit about, in the remaining time that we have, I want to talk to you about LifeLeash and from a couple angles. One, I want to talk to you about the business itself and what your motivations were for. But I'd also be very interested to hear, as a new business owner, you know, my company is only going into what, our fourth year or third year. I'm bad with math. We started in March 2011. I find that I learn so much each month, each year. Mm-hmm. And I'm consistently learning. And I think back to those early days of starting my company. And I think, what would I do now if I were to start my company? And I've come to a conclusion that I would probably make the same stupid mistakes again, with a few exceptions. And I'd love to talk to you a little bit about your experience starting this company and some of the things that you've struggled with, some of the things that you've learned, some of the advice you might pass on. So let's start with just, you know, your experience in starting a company. What surprised you about it and what was exactly as expected?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one, which I think a lot of people can relate to, is it's an idea that I had probably for the last 2 years, based on a lot of the work that where I was helping people. You were talking about the entrepreneurial spirit that I have and the work I was doing at GSK, a lot of it based around technology. And I started to have these thoughts. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you always question, like, is that something I can do or should do? Is it really a need? And, you know, how do I turn that into a business? And, you know, so the biggest thing was it's just moving forward. You know, it's every day. It's setting that goal. It's writing it down, making it visible and doing something every day and constantly moving forward. So as a new business owner, you know, it's been great really understanding, reaching out and starting to help people now with, you know, one, they automatically, a lot of people that I'm coming into, I've been helping a lot of different people, you know, some executive coaches that I know, some, you know, some high level CEOs within organizations. And, you know, every day you start to build your confidence around your ideas and the impact that you can make and around helping people. You said, you know, you're very open and transparent and that you're coming from a place within your business to really make a difference in people's companies, organizations, and their customers. And for me, it was very similar. And so what was great is at least my idea of why I wanted to create the company is being reinforced by the feedback that I'm getting from my customers and the help that I've been able to provide them and make their life a lot easier.
Well, I hope you've been capturing them as testimonials, just as a
good.
as far as like the business itself, because, you know, I think there's kind of the two different entrepreneurs that I've kind of encountered. There's the operational entrepreneurs, the people who take an idea and they can make it and scale it. And then there's the people who just love the work. They're the people that love, like, I love to write strategies. I love to sit down with a business and pick it apart and look at where it's broken and then come up with the plan to fix it. I mean, it just jazzes me. And I think for you, you know, you love the idea of making people's lives better by helping them use technology more effectively. So the entrepreneurs that are kind of like us, where it's the work, for me at least, it's been that the running the business part of it has been like a major education in figuring out, you know, how to go about making sure my finances are proper and that my, you know, I've got, you know, an outsourced financial controller who looks at my books and da-da-da-da-da and all those things. All the pieces of managing the business itself are really where I've encountered the most challenges. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you've had to face starting this business? And if you could go back and do one thing differently, what do you think it would be?
Wow. You know, one of my biggest developmental areas, and it's what you're kind of talking about right now, it's that operational person versus the strategy. And you can theoretically do both, but you can't do a lot of things well, right? And it's asking for help. So if I could go back, it's really bringing in and finding people that can help within different parts of your organization. So for me, I like to know and learn a lot. So for me, it's just the process, and much like yourself and you were commenting, you know, it's the work that I love, but around learning a business and running a business and setting that up, you know, I'm trying to learn a lot of that now on my own. But going back to our previous conversation and thinking about networks, there's a lot of people within my network. You know, I'm friends with CFOs, people who are in marketing, branding, and it's really sitting down and talking to a lot of those people and asking for help. And then at some point, you have to make the decision, you know, depending how big you want your company to become, is really bringing on talented individuals and then getting out of their way. So that they can help you do what you love to do most. So if it's either running the organization, that's great. You need people who are going to go out and do the strategy and the business and that side of it. And if it's the other, you know, you hire somebody, a general manager, to run the organization and take care of all the administrative work that you hate so that you can do the stuff that you enjoy most. So for me, it would be bringing on people earlier in that process. I did talk to a lot of people. But again, it's really bringing in and having people do the work who are – that's what they do best, and it would save you a lot of time and headache.
Leveraging expertise and, yes, you know, kind of getting the stuff off your plate that's not really your core. It's funny. It took me a pretty long time to get that. So it's good that you've got that so early on in your company. I mean, I noticed that it wasn't until I started bringing smart people on and getting out of their way that I started to be able to scale. And most recently, bringing on my executive assistant. I mean, it's just amazing what it's done. You know, case in point, we're having this podcast. You know, we had talked about it months and months and months ago. And, you know, just juggling all of the things until I got her involved and said, hey, you got to get Jamie on here for me so we can have this talk. And she made it happen. So, you know, case in point, it got stuff done.
That's it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about LifeLeash and kind of why it excites you so much. You know, I'm a gadget geek. I love my iPhone. It's never more than 15 feet from me or I start to get the cold shakes and sweats. Who are the people you're trying to help and what is it that you saw that was like such a value for them? Like how are you going to make their lives easier using technology?
Yeah, so there's really three segments. You know, there's that it's for a personal, professional, and the business. So you can kind of clump the personal and the professional together. They're individuals, they're busy people, they may be parents. And what I found working corporately, you know, which reinforced me creating this company is that, you know, despite there being a lot of brilliant people out there, there's a lot of tech adverse people who, you know, maybe they have a smartphone, but all they do on it is call people and maybe email. But then, you know, there's a lot of people who have tools or they struggle in their life. And a lot of the tools that are available through technology, be it apps on their phone, the phone themselves, or other tools that are available, are one, not that hard to use, but people are so afraid to move forward. And it kind of goes to creating the business and what I was talking about. Sometimes it's just stepping off that cliff and moving forward and learning. But a lot of people don't want to read. They don't want to take the time to sit down and go through that process and learn. You and I both love that and thrive on learning. And not that other people don't, but they want somebody to show them. So they want somebody to help them in that process. And they like the social aspect of it. So with that, that's what really drove me to I enjoy that engagement myself and helping them and the feeling that they get and how much it impacts their life and really helping them move forward. And so for an example, it may be something as simple, you know, my wife and I and the kids, we probably have 5 different calendars depending on what it is. And if my wife is over her mother's and she wants to know if we can go to dinner there, she doesn't have to call me. She just goes in the phone. She can look at my calendar and say, oh, you know what? Jamie's not busy that night. Yeah, we can do that night. Or it's, hey, can you stop at the grocery store on the way home? You know, the grocery list is updated. And you know what? The grocery list is basically synchronized across all of our computers, our smart devices. And so no matter where she put it in, it's everywhere. So we always have access. So, I mean, that's a small example. But a lot of people struggle with that because we're so busy and overwhelmed with so much information. Those simple things make a big difference in people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want you to tell, I'm really curious right now because I know that, you know, the way that I look at technology and the way that you look at technology, you know, we're both fanatics about it, but you're looking at it from a different perspective because your demographic that you're dealing with is different, usually a little bit older, maybe looking for more sort of personal quirks and tidbits. I'm curious, off the top of your head, top 5 apps that you put on immediately onto most people's phones, the first 5.
Wow. So one of my favorites is iThoughts. iThoughts HD for your iPad. It's a great mind mapping tool. If you're not familiar with mind maps, it's a visual brainstorming. Allow you to get your thoughts out and just get them all on paper, but then simply rearrange them and organize them versus putting them on paper and having to keep rewriting it. So that would be the first one. The other one, ironically, it's funny you're asking me about this because I have on my my blog on the website, I have Jamie's favorite apps. The second one is going to be Evernote.
Love it.
I'm still amazed to this day how many people I come in contact with that never even heard about it.
Yeah.
Let alone said, well, I heard about it, but I just haven't used it yet. And the idea around that is, you know, my slogan around tools like Evernote are information is only as useful as it is easy to find and easy to access. Because people always say, I had somebody call me today and say, where is that? What is that? And where is it? And, you know, if you know where it is, all you have to do is type in the right word and you got your information you need. The other, is going to be Splash ID. It's a password manager. It still amazes me, to this day. People are, I don't know where my password is or what my password, or they use, you know, 1111111. And hey, in the light of security,
or
you know,
password.
Today,
that's the funniest one.
Yeah. You know, so that one's going to be key, in making sure that you, one, are protecting all of your information and changing those on a regular basis, but so that you can always find them and synchronize it across your computers.
Is Splash ID, and I'm assuming iThoughts isn't, but is Splash ID, available on Android? Do you know?
They are. It is available across the different devices.
And is iThoughts?
iThoughts, I want to say that one is more specific to iOS right now.
Okay.
But I know it has, you know, there's a lot. I mean, the mind mapping tools, there's lots of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying iThoughts based on the research that I did and my needs. Mm-hmm. It was one of the tools that really provided a lot. But there are a lot of mind mapping tools out there, and a lot of them are even free.
Cool. So, I mean, just categorically, we're looking at, we've got mind mapping, note taking. I mean, to call Evernote just a note taking app is almost an insult to it, but we'll categorize it that for now. And then password management. So these are things that are really utilities for the average person. They're always losing their passwords. They're always forgetting their grocery lists or that cheese mm-hmm. that they really liked or the wine that they had that was awesome. And you know, when they're trying to think out a process, you know, mind mapping, I've found, I used to be adamantly opposed to it. I started using it and I was like, oh my God, this is so incredibly valuable and really helps the process. So, okay, cool. So that's 1 through 3. What's 4 and 5?
So one of my other favorites is Card Munch. So right now I know it's been heavy. It's going through some updates, and it's a lot of people are having some troubles with it working right now. But that's a product by LinkedIn, if you've never heard of it. You know, we get so many business cards nowadays, and there's different ways of sharing them, but a lot of people still have them. And that's how they share their information. So it's a great way where you basically take a picture of that card, and automatically somebody transcribes that information and puts it right into your phone and saves it right to your phone. So it saves a tremendous amount of time. A lot of times I'll take the picture and hand the card right back to people, and they're like, you don't need – I'm like, it's already in my phone. So it starts a whole conversation in and of itself.
That's good. And then you can give them your card for Life Leash.
There you go.
And be like, download the app. You can have this. I only carry one card. Make sure to scan it. Yep. Okay, what's number five?
And actually for this time of the year, I mean, there's lots of different ones. Hootsuite's another one if you do like social media. But for this time of the year, one I also really like is called Delivery Status Touch. It's by JuneCloud. And it basically allows you, if you get an email, you copy that tracker ID, and when you go into the app, it automatically recognizes there's one there. You paste it in, and it'll follow it step by step and where it is and tell you when it's going to show up on your front door. So if you want to know when it's coming and where it is and when it's going to get there, and especially, again, because this time of year you might have 50 packages coming around, it's a really great tool for tracking that. So I use that one on a regular basis.
That's awesome. I got to tell you just real quick that the three that I use in place of three of the ones you use, I use SimpleMind as my mind mapping, and it synchronizes with the Mac app. I'm using 1Password for my password management. It integrates with browsers, and I've just been using it for a while, so I'm a big fan. I was using Card Munch for a while, and then I discovered Evernote Hello, which I think is worth taking a look at, especially since you have Evernote on the list. What's nice is it logs all of your business cards in Evernote, scans all the info, allows you to connect on LinkedIn and on Twitter, on Facebook. It's a really, really cool app. So that's a good list. I hope somebody out there – I hadn't heard of a couple of these, so that's very cool.
And I have to throw it in there since you throw out Evernote Hello, but my other favorite is Evernote Food. If you're a foodie, which I know you are, is Evernote Food, and really kind of it's a journal for all of your dinners and meals that you have with friends and family, and allows you really to categorize that and track that and savor some of those fond moments that you've had over the years.
Yeah, it's pretty cool indeed. All right, awesome. Well, Jamie, we're just about out of time for our podcast episode, but I feel like I could do this with you many, many more times as we do drinks and we, you know, sit down and hang out. There's always no shortage of things for us to talk about with our number of shared interests. But I want to thank you for coming on and talking a lot about entrepreneurship. I hope that the entrepreneurs that are out there listening are motivated and given kind of new life to go and get things done in their organization based on, you know, some of the feedback that you've been able to provide to them. But before we go, it would be awesome if you could tell people where they could find out more about you, more about Life Leash, and connect with you online.
Yeah, sure. Thank you again for having me, Jeff. And you can learn more at lifeleash.net. And you can also – the Twitter symbol is Life Leash. So you can go and learn more about it there. There's a lot of great information building the blog right now. But again, it's going to be a great time over the next year. So again, this is the first full year is going to be 2014. I've already made a lot of great contacts, done a lot of great talks, met a lot of great people, and I've been having a lot of fun helping people. So
very cool. Well, I'm excited to watch it grow in 2014, and you know, I'm there. I got your back big time. And my request to any of the listeners, the loyal social media philanthropy conversations listeners, I'm going to put Jamie's contact info, the Twitter name and such, in the show notes. And one of the things I've been doing this year as part of my content strategy, you've probably seen it, is on the True Voice Media blog, I've just been answering social media questions. I had my intern, my mighty intern, Jonathan, go out and assemble 50 to 75 social media related questions. And I've just been answering those questions as a blog post. And what I would ask the listeners of Social Media Philanthropy Conversations to do is, if you have a question about how to make your life easier through technology, things you're struggling with, ways in which to do things more efficiently using your smartphone, your tablet, etc., please shoot Jamie that question. I'm sure he'll have an answer to it. He's really sharp. He's on top of this. So, and it may even help with his content strategy. So nice thing to do if you have the time. So for all of you out there listening, this has been Conversations, the True Voice Media Podcast. Take care.